The Atlanta Film Festival begins today. It's celebrating its 40th anniversary by marking another anniversary, 25 years since the release of the film Fried Green Tomatoes. There's a special screening of the movie this weekend, and who better to introduce it than a real Georgia boy, Jack McBrayer. You may know him from shows like Archer or 30 Rock, where he played Ken the Page.
Mr. Jordan, I cannot work with that machine at my desk.
But you can have coffee anytime you want.
I don't drink coffee, sir. I don't drink hot liquids of any kind. That's the devil's temperature.
Jack McBrayer grew up in Macon, Georgia, and Conyers, Georgia, and he's back in the Peach State this weekend to introduce Fried Green Tomatoes at the film festival. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I think you were maybe 17 or 18 years old when this film came out.
Yes, ma'am. It would have been 1991, so I would have either been finishing high school or starting college. But yeah, it was a long time ago.
It was. Did you go see it?
You know, I can't remember going to a theater to see it, but I know I have seen it since.
Because it was, I mean, it was thought of as kind of a girl's film, a chick flick.
Exactly. Chick lit. No, but absolutely. I mean, you know, and I knew of Fanny Flagg.
The author who wrote the novel.
Yes, absolutely. And so I've had even buddies who were in college with me saying, yeah, we were supposed to read that novel. I'm like, oh, I don't guess I took that course.
So I wonder, I mean, it's Hollywood, after all, the movie that people know. But how was there accuracy in its portrayal of that area? Because the place where it was filmed is not that far north of Macon, Georgia.
No, I guess not. Now, Macon was a medium-sized town back when I was growing up. But, of course, I was very aware of all the very small towns, you know, all throughout Georgia. So I guess in a way it was completely accurate. You know, a great deal of the movie takes place further back in history.
Yeah, 1920s or so.
Yes, just a couple of years before I was born. But I definitely could understand and relate to the small town, you know, visuals and everything that were happening then.
But, you know, there is a certain responsibility to some extent, at least people here believe, to movies that portray the South. Because I know a lot of people complain that Hollywood does not portray the South kindly.
True, true. This is true. And, I mean, I could just be as guilty as anybody for some of that. But I do have to say one thing that's a little more glaring to me, just as a viewer. Sometimes the accents are the things that make my skin crawl a little bit more. When you have a non-Southern actor, which, you know, God bless, we all have to do our job. But sometimes when they have to put on a Southern accent that they may not be as familiar with, sometimes that requires a little more forgiveness than I'm prepared for.
I assume you may be talking about accents that we've heard perhaps on something like House of Cards.
I'm not allowed to mention names. Come on, Hollywood's a small town.
But have you ever been asked to either pump up your accent for effect or tone it down?
Tone it down. I don't think anyone has ever asked me to pump up my Southern accent. I don't think they would understand the words coming out of my mouth.
You mean your accent can get stronger?
Well, you know, when you're drunk, tired, or angry. Well, when you go back home for Christmas break for a week, you come back and blah, 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 blah. And all your friends back in California are like, what did you just try to communicate? Are you injured?
And yet, to a certain extent, the roles that you get cast in a lot, and I'm thinking a lot, of course, of the role of the page on 30 Rock.
Yes.
It is a nice side of the South. I mean, I looked on Wikipedia and they describe you as absurdly cheerful, overly polite.
Yeah, these are all good things as far as I'm concerned.
Right. So that was in some ways taking the Southern stereotype and making it positive.
True, that's a good spin. They probably didn't put in Wikipedia that he also comes across as someone who's had a railroad spike put through his head. Not the smartest kid on the block.
Yes, that's true. And I think to a certain extent, Southern accents kind of get that stereotype.
It's true, but you know what? Play your cards right. You can use that to your advantage, too. You get pulled over for a speeding ticket, you just talk real Southern, smile real big, they send you on your way.
Sorry, just imagining that in my head.
There you go.
So going back 25 years, have you gone back to watch Fried Green Tomatoes since you're going to be introducing it?
Well, I have to admit, it has been a while, but of course I revisited, you know, the synopsis and all the cast members and stuff. So, and I completely acknowledge what a fine piece of film it was, and just so many stellar performances out of it, all the nominations it was up for. So, yeah, all of this is going to be a real treat for me.
It's kind of there are certain tentpole films that people will always associate with the South. I mean, going back as far as Gone with the Wind, there are certain films, Deliverance is one of them. And I wonder, have you seen the portrayal of the South change in the years since you were born, since the 80s and 90s?
Well, that's an interesting question. I guess just it could be such a crapshoot because of, you know, what films are being put out. I am, of course, sensitive to a hugely negative portrayal of the South. But as you can probably understand, too, even Southerners have their distinctions. For example, if you see a movie about, you know, the backwoods swamps of Louisiana, even if it's like horrible things are happening with horrible people in it, we can still kind of distance ourselves going, oh, yeah, well, that's Louisiana. So I think even in the South, we can make these separations. But with that being said, any like trends in terms of depictions of the South, I don't know if necessarily it's evolved, or I think it really is just kind of a luck of the draw of what movies are being produced at whatever time.
And what director chooses.
And what director, exactly what their vision is.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with actor Jack McBrayer, star of 30 Rock, and the voice of Fix-It Felix, which is one of my favorite performances in Wreck-It Ralph. You know, I want to kind of talk about some of your voiceover work, because you also appeared for at least one episode of Archer, which is made here in Atlanta. You played Randy Gillette, the brother of one of the main characters. Let's hear a clip.
See, me and Janelle got us one of them open marriages, like in France.
Oh, right, in Europe.
And I would really like that open marriage to include Ray's new wife.
What?
Now, look, that's in the Bible.
Really?
Genesis 38, verse 8.
Really?
But even though Ray used to be a preacher, he was never big on the Old Testament.
So that's, they seem to be playing off the fact that that's against the Southern stereotype?
I don't know. Sometimes I show up and cash the check.
Well, that is for an animated show that is definitely not for children. So let's take a listen to some voice work that was definitely for children. This was the role you played in Despicable Me, and we hear Steve Carell's voice as well.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What was that? She hit that. I saw that with my own eyes.
Hey, buddy, let me explain something to you. You see that little tin spaceship? You see how it's not knocked over? Do you know what that means, Professor? It means you don't get the unicorn! Ow! Uh-oh, somebody's got a frowny face. Boom. Better luck next time.
What is the difference in preparation for you if you're doing a voiceover versus actually appearing in 30 Rock or another show?
Well, you are working some different muscles, that's for sure. you know, when you're on a TV or a movie, you know, live action, you do just have to be a little more, strangely, just a little more prepared. With that being said, when I go in for the voiceover and stuff, you are acting up a storm. I'm sitting there, you're moving your arms, you're sweating, you're screaming into a microphone for hours. But it's unique because there's not another person playing against you. Like, for example, Steve Carell was not in the booth when I was recording Despicable Me. You're just reading with the director or just with an engineer. So it's kind of just a different muscle that you're flexing.
And you have to do some lines over and over with different inflections.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, to the point where sometimes it just doesn't make sense anymore.
Well, then I want to talk about one more, I guess, sort of permutation of your character as an actor, because you appear on the Conan O'Brien show a lot.
Oh, yes.
A lot. So this is from an episode that was filmed on location in Atlanta, and this was done for an April Fool's gag. We thought it was fitting since we're talking to you on April Fool's Day.
Sure.
April Fools. You see, I'm afraid I won't be able to make it to the show tonight as I have been in a terrible boating accident and I am currently in the hospital.
Oh, okay, Jack. Well, that's a great April Fools joke.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's just that the thing is, you said April Fools first, which kind of gives it away. That's not how it's done. Also, you're standing right in front of me, so I can see that you're not in the hospital.
Gotcha!
So that is you appearing on a talk show as yourself, as Jack McBrayer, but you're clearly playing a character.
Oh, story of my life, dear. Story of my life.
Don't you ever just want to go on to Conan and just sit down and be smart?
If only I could. No, of course, he loves the fact that I'm a Southerner. With that being said, Conan loves the South. He's a huge history buff. For his honeymoon, he and his wife took a tour of Georgia and hit, like, Civil War, battleground sites and hit all these museums and stuff. But I think he gets a real kick out of the fact that I can pretty easily slip into a local yokel pretty easily. I owe a great deal to that man. So as far as I'm concerned, he can make fun of me till the cows come home.
And I wonder how much you are stuck with Ken the Page for the rest of your acting career. I mean, you were so successful in that role. It's so iconic. Is that always going to shadow you?
Well, if it does, pretty decent shadow to have. that job and that role, it created so many opportunities. I was never asked to do any voiceover stuff until people saw me on 30 Rock playing Kenneth the Page. So I owe a great deal to that, to Tina Fey, who created it. People do ask, like, are you worried about getting typecast and all that kind of thing? And I have a couple different responses, because I think of people like Don Knotts, and I think of people like Bob Newhart, Andy Griffith, Bea Arthur. These are actors who didn't stray too far from, you know, their signature style, and they worked for decades, and they worked very well. So for me, it's not about, like, getting typecast. It's like, let me just get cast, and then I'll worry about type later on.
Well, then let me ask about how you feel about headlines of your home state and how you may take that personally or not. And specifically, Georgia's been in the headlines recently, especially over promised boycotts from Hollywood should the governor sign the Religious Liberty Bill, which he did not. But I wonder how you take that when you see Georgia discussed in major news organizations, on CNN, even overseas, people talking about Georgia as though it's still a kind of a relic of the Civil War.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have to take some of all of this with a grain of salt. You do have an understanding of what happens in Georgia. And, you know, I grew up in Georgia. I love Georgia. I love going back to Georgia. My family's all still in Georgia. But Georgia, as with every state, has its things that they deal with and ways that they are perceived. So Georgia is a part of my life and I embrace it. And I hope that it is perceived and moves in a way that works well for everyone. But, you know, as with any place, the reality is there's going to be friction at times. There's going to be different points of views that cause conflict, and you just have to, like, cross your fingers and hope for the best.
And I wonder, on the other side of that coin, is the success that Georgia has had and becoming what people are calling Yollywood. It's such.
I've not heard that.
You had not.
No.
That it's become such a busy place for filming both movies and TV shows. Has that been a surprise for you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I also am aware just of, you know, the number of years being able to do this is that it is dependent on how long a state can sustain that kind of thing. For example, I know that Michigan had that great tax break for several years, and then sometimes it just goes away. So for me, it's just like, whoa, let's keep this going as long as we can, as long as it's benefiting, you know, the most people. So I hope it goes on forever and ever, but plus, I'll tell you what, I can't get work there to save my life. But
in Georgia?
No, ma'am. Yet to be asked. Come on, Yollywood. What is it, Yollywood?
Yollywood. That's insane.
I know, right? Well, I guess they want real actors there. If they want more hillbillies, they just got pick of the litter out there.
I guess this might be the one time when you might have to pump up your accent.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I'll practice in the mirror right now.
I've been talking with actor Jack McBrayer. He is introducing the film Fried Green Tomatoes as a special guest this weekend at the Atlanta Film Festival. Jack, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This has been great.